If I would have listened to the doctor on my diagnosis, what he would have said is, it's pretty bad. Yeah, and normally the statistics say that basically 3 out of 10 survive for 5 years. The other 7 are gone. So what do you think your mind is going to be thinking all the time? My probabilities of living are 30%. They are so low that it's very difficult to take those words and that statistic out of your mind. But what I did was, I'm going to focus on getting healed, talk to people that survived, read all the good stories about cancer survivors, filled myself with those. Chemo, I didn't have any side effects at all. I got tired, but that's it. Zero. Radiation, zero. They removed my stomach. It was a night, 8-hour surgery. And I was up and running 7-8 days. Not running, but up and doing stuff 8 days after that. Because I didn't focus on all the bad that could have come from that.
Welcome, fellow entrepreneurs and goal getters, to Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within, with myself, your host, Kelly Beveridge, and my guest today, Ricardo Viso. And I am so excited to have him here because today we're going to be talking about joy and all things joy. He is born in Denver, raised in Mexico City, and now calls Austin home. He's a global entrepreneur, speaker, a podcaster as well. And I love this. He's turned his life's toughest moments from loss, incarceration, cancer, into a mission to help others unlock their real joy. I just think it's so important that we know that joy can even be there when we're in adversity. And so I'm just really excited to speak to him and about his message and learn from him today. He's also the founder of Joyful Living Lounge. He's the creator of the RIC method, which we're going to talk about, I'm sure. He's been featured in the International Business Times. And we're going to talk about your approach that helps individuals and teams discover their purpose and passion in their work and lives. And most importantly, I think just how to create joy and have joy in our life as we're doing life. And Ricardo, just really grateful to have you here. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me here. And let's get to it. I love talking about this.
So awesome. Cool. So I'm curious, for full transparency with the audience, you and I are actually just meeting today. Sometimes I have guests on, I know them really well. Sometimes we've chatted before. I've just learned about your story from reading a little bit about it. And so I really want to know a bit about your story, because I feel like you've had an incredible journey and some difficult moments in your life. You have lost your mom at a young age of 10. You were incarcerated. You've survived cancer, which, congratulations, by the way, that's awesome.
I actually have a recurrence now. 2 months ago, they told me I have a recurrence, so I'm still dealing with it, and I'm doing great, and I feel great. So it's an ongoing, interesting life, as you perfectly well put it. It's an ongoing thing.
We'll speak health into today's call then, and in health into you today. Perfect. And I think speaking about joy is probably a great thing to talk about in real life. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think you're going to make a big impact with the audience today, just being so open with your story and how to still enjoy life while you go through these hard times. So I'm curious with that. So maybe you can just share a little bit of your background and your story. And how did you decide that it was important to learn to have joy in life while you're dealing with the struggle?
It's part of the story, and I'll get to it. I had a regular childhood before I was 10, and that's, I'll go to it, but a regular childhood. I didn't had a very present father because he's a doctor, so he was working all week. My mom was there. We had a good family life, cousins, friends, school was great. And at 10, when I was 10, my mom died. She committed suicide. So that's when the interesting part began. And I guess there's not a specific way of understanding how and why I confronted my mom's death like that. But when she died, my dad actually didn't tell us that she committed suicide. It's normally you believe, well, at that age, my youngest brother was 7. you don't understand, which you do. We tend to don't understand that kids understand much more than we believe. But so my dad told us that she got into an accident, and an older cousin of mine brought me a newspaper. At that time, there were newspapers, as you well know. And he showed me a note where it says, it said that my mother had died in a hotel and committing suicide. So it was like, you can imagine the shock. And I just went to my dad. He told me yes. And I perfectly understood what happened. I didn't understood, of course, what was in her mind and all the, let's call it, the complexities of someone committing suicide. But I perfectly understood that she was gone. I was never going to see her anymore, and that she took her own life. And the way I confronted that was, I told every single person that I met about it. It was like therapy. Oh, how are you doing? Oh, pretty bad. And I started crying. And I told them, my mom did suicide. And the reactions of people was, holy mother of God. But it helped me a lot. It helped me process it better, and people getting to be compassionate about it. And it helped me a lot. And that's honestly when my life changed forever. And I keep telling people, because most of the people say, yeah, it's the worst moment in your life. Yeah, and it was the best. And people say, how can it be the best? Because it made me focus on the good things of life. Because after what happened, nothing that happened during my college years, high school years, was important enough to give it or to make me feel sad or bad or anxious. I've already had the worst happen to me. So I approach life that way. You never know what's going to happen. And that was intuitive. I of course, I didn't got any. It comes from my grandma, my mom's mom. But I really approached life like that. I started seeing what else can happen. So I'm failing school. I'll find a way to get over it. I'm not making money. I'll find a way. Whatever bad situation I got into, I find the silver lining of it. I know it's a cliche, but I did. I started living like that. And that's because my mom died when I was 10.
Yeah. Wow. That right in itself is a good message. Like you said, like your toughest moment actually became your biggest blessing. And yes, from that, yes, obviously as a young child, intuitively, it's almost like you stop, don't sweat the small stuff, because like life happens. And so that is from a very young age, I think, as you shared, the beginning of your journey of not going down the road of depression and anxiety and lack of fulfillment.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you saw everything as like, it's figure outable.
Yeah. And life happens, and it's going to keep happening. Life never stops happening until you die. And you're going to receive all sorts of different things, good, bad, sad. And exactly, I did it intuitively at that time. Mm-hmm. I didn't, of course, read anything nor was trained to do that. Now I understand a lot more because I've been studying a lot about this, mm-hmm. but it was intuitive at that time. It was, you know what, why should I focus on my mom being dead? I should focus that I had a very good time with her. She was a very fun person to be around. And that's what I focus on. I didn't focus on her being dead. And that's when it started. And now that I realize, that's when it starts to click. You always have the option on how you react. It's very difficult to not feel something or to avoid feeling. And that's not even healthy. Mm-hmm. But once you feel it, you have a choice on how to process it.
Yeah.
All of it. And everything that's happened to me, tons of different things, I've always seen it like that. Okay. And now that I'm an adult and I've been studying much more, but it's okay. It's pretty bad. Like I can tell you the recurrence. It was 2 months ago exactly. When you receive the news, and I will talk about it later, but the initial news of cancer is like the worst news you can have. And because everything surrounding cancer is about death. which is terrible because in the end, much more people survive cancer than they die. But everybody focuses on the death. So everything, cancer, I'm dying. Oh my gosh, it's terrible. Fear, sadness, worries. And you can keep thinking about that, and it's normal, and nobody's going to say, yeah, you're right, you have cancer. Yeah, actually, you tell somebody you have cancer, and their look on their face is, oh my gosh. Or you can say, okay, I have cancer, but I feel great. I don't feel bad. There's lots of people that survive this, so you read about it, you talk about it, and you train your mind to receive that bad feeling or a moment, whatever, acknowledge it, say, yeah, it's but, and that but, and then you go to the other side and go to the good stuff that's going on, which is there's always something that you can grab or realize that's good in your life. Always, no matter what the situation is.
Yeah. Wow. I just, even what you're sharing, so inspiring. I love what you said. Like you just said so many wonderful things, Ricardo. One, to not avoid our feelings, to actually, and I think even as a little kid, you did that by telling everybody. And like you said, it was therapeutic.
I was a cry baby at that. I cried every single day.
Yeah. But how healing in you, because you allowed yourself to feel it. And then that way it helped you move through it, which I think is such a great message. And then your story, even with your cancer right now, is so inspiring because one, what you just shared was really interesting, that much more people survive cancer. Yet what we choose to focus on is the death side of it. Yet you could take that across the board in any life situation. People choose to focus on what could go wrong, what isn't great, the negative side versus, but what's the opposite? Because the opposites are there.
And that's what you hear every single day. What happened during COVID? They gave you every single day the number of dead people, which is so bad. Why didn't they tell you, okay, 5,000, 100,000 people, millions of people survived it? So then your mind says, okay, so it's dangerous. I need to take care of myself, but most of the people survived. Because then your brain realizes that and helps you if you have COVID. When you get COVID and you're so scared that you're going to die because that's all you hear, the probabilities of you getting worse increase.
Yeah,
it happens exactly. And that's exactly what, all across the border, whatever, anything you do in your life, you can choose to focus on the bad, which is what makes news. That's what you receive in your text group messages, your WhatsApp group messages, in Facebook, in all the bad. Because people tend to, and if you keep feeding them the good stuff, it's not that important. But for your own life, I can tell you, I stopped hearing or listening or reading news for the last 5 years. What's the purpose? I read some summaries to know what's happening in the world. I do want to know. But hearing, that everything is so bad that you really end up believing the world is going to end. And honestly, we're at a moment in human history that we're doing the best in so many things, but nobody focuses on that.
Yeah, it's so true.
And it's exactly the same.
I like to say how beliefs are created is by what we tell ourselves and what we choose to focus on over and over and over again. And to what you said, it's a choice. And I'm curious. And so, Ricardo, what would you say? Because you've faced some dark moments, right? So how do you start to redefine the stories we tell ourselves? How do you start to redefine feeling joyful when you're in those dark moments? Like, how do you define joy when you're in the struggle? How do we redefine that for ourselves?
I think that you redefine it, and the actual important thing is not to wait until something really bad happens. And let me give you an example. When you're focused on your nutrition, you train your mind to eat well. You count calories, portions, you do this, that, everything. When you exercise as well, you have a routine. So you train. But when you, for your mindset to be or to find joy, you don't do it. So if you just think about, I want to be happier, it doesn't work that way. You need to train your mind to focus on the good parts or the good things that are happening in your world. I can tell you another example. When I was first diagnosed with cancer, again, I had a terrible tumor in the joint of the stomach and the esophagus. If I go now back in time, and medically speaking, I shouldn't be here by now because it was so bad. I told the doctor, I don't want to listen to your statistics. I don't want to listen to anything bad that you guys need to tell me. You want to talk about that and you need to do it. Talk to my dad and my wife that are here. I'm just going to go really loud. I don't want to hear. And why? I told him, I just want to know what I need to do to get better. Medically speaking, he told me what they were going to do. And I started doing tons of different things to prepare myself for treatment and all of that. And why did I do that? Because, and that's part of the training that you're asking. Mm-hmm. If I would have listened to the doctor on my diagnosis, what he would have said is, it's pretty bad, or different words. When doctors have different ways to do it, but yeah, and normally the statistics say that basically 3 out of 10 survive for 5 years, the other 7 are gone. So what do you think your mind is going to be thinking all the time? My probabilities of living are 30%. They are so low that it's very difficult to take those words and that statistic out of your mind. But what I did was, I'm going to focus on getting healed, talk to people that survived, read all the good stories about cancer survivors, filled myself with those. Chemo, I didn't have any side effects at all.
Wow.
I got tired, but that's it. Mm-hmm. Zero. Radiation, zero. They removed my stomach. It was a 8-hour surgery. And I was up and running 7-8 days. Not running, but up and doing stuff 8 days after that. Because I didn't focus on all the bad that could have come from that. So when you're in a very dark situation, again, whatever it is, and related to your work, to your relationships, to your health, if you're focusing on the bad that's happening there, you can keep at it and it's very hard to get out of it. Mm-hmm. But just by shifting the moment in your mind, listening to a song, listening to a stand-up comedian, watching a nice movie. I didn't watch sad movies during that time. Only made me feel good movies. Yeah. And it seems like it's very simple. It is. And then you need to work. And again, as in nutrition, exercising, or your job, you need to discipline and to work into focusing on what do you enjoy doing every day in your life. And that's why I chose joy instead of happiness. Because happiness, most of the people is, I'm going to be happy when I get promotion, when I have a kid, when I make $1 million. You give me whatever. And you realize that you get there and that moment of happiness lasts 10 seconds, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, and it's gone. And if all the process it took you to get there, you didn't enjoy at all what you were doing, mm-hmm. It doesn't mean anything. And if I tell you what's happiness, it's very hard to define. Oh, I feel, I don't know, butterflies. I don't know. It's hard to define because it's a mental state. But joy or enjoying is something. I enjoy talking to you. I enjoy having a coffee. I enjoy listening to this song. So you can really create all day or every day, what I call your, like, your joy file. What brings you joy? Listening to something, eating something. It's very easy for me or for you to tell me what do you enjoy. And if you create that joy file, it's easier to access it. Really, that's part of some of the workshops that I do. And you create that joy file. And sadly enough, and again, what you were saying about the focusing on the bad, if you ask somebody what you don't like about your job or your life, you have a list of thousands of things. When you try to tell what do you enjoy, people start scratching their heads and they write two or three things and you don't have any more. Yeah, I'm thinking of. Even studies have shown that if you imagine you have the worst job possible or you're in the worst moment of your life, even thinking about things that you enjoy changes your mindset like that. And that's how you train your mind to move from a difficult moment.
Yeah. Oh, everything you're sharing, Ricardo, is so amazing. I love this idea of a joy file. I just wrote that down, to have a joy file. And to your point, I agree. I think people don't even allow themselves to ask themselves the question, what do I enjoy? What brings joy? Yep. And so it's so easy to come up with the things that cause us to not feel joy. Yet what does start making your file now and adding to it and looking for things and throughout your day, finding evidence and putting it in your joy file so that when you are up against it, you don't have to go and reinvent the wheel. Just go and look into your file and say, what can I pull out that can just support me in this moment?
Yes. And it's as, again, it's as simple as that. And something, what are the hacks? There are no hacks. It's just focusing on that. So if you're having a terrible day, what you normally do, you call somebody, you complain, you go back to the same, and you keep at it, and you keep at it, and you keep. So you arrive home, and you're completely drained of energy. What happens is suddenly during that moment, you listen to a song, you access your joy file, and you say, you know what, I'm going to call whoever you feel that makes you laugh. I'm going to call him. I'm going to complain. I just want you to tell me some stupid stuff and laugh. Or access a song, whatever. And it does change. Again, there are many things involved there, but helping your brain focusing on what you enjoy, it makes it a habit. You need to make a habit to enjoy your days. And again, that's math. If you enjoy your days, you have a happier life. You keep adding good days. And you're going to have terrible days. That's unavoidable. You cannot expect life to be pink and nice every day, all days. That's not possible. And it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But if you are consciously focusing on that, it's easier to get back on track and not going down that spiral or negative spiral that takes you nowhere.
Yeah, for sure. So you remind me right now, have you ever heard of Hal Elrod?
Yes.
Your story reminds me of him a lot. And because he created the Miracle Morning, and I love, he wrote a book called About Miracles, saying what you just shared, he says, how do you have an extraordinary life? You have an extraordinary day, and then you just string them together. How do you have an extraordinary day? It's all the things you're talking about. It's focusing on our mindset in the morning and then protecting our space. And you said it sounds simple, and the truth is it is. It's just not easy because it requires intention.
I agree.
It requires
exactly.
us. Yes. And it's exactly. like to choose, to consciously choose in that muscle every day of there's my boundary. There's my standard. Don't come into my space and my bubble and speak negativity and what could go wrong. And it's not being naive. It's actually being smart. So we protect our space so that we can be in that elevated energy of what we want to create in our life.
Yeah, it's not about living in denial. It's not about, oh no, I don't have cancer and I'm perfectly fine. No, I do have cancer and it can kill me. Yes, of course it can. But I just choose not to focus on that. Mm-hmm. And it starts, you perfectly put it, it starts with your morning. How do 80% or 90% of the people wake up with an alarm? That's a terrible way to wake up. Put a song in your phone. Put a song. I always wake up when I put the alarm with a song. What a Wonderful World. I have 10 different songs that I love. So I even want the alarm to keep playing. And it does change.
I love
it
that.
It seems, again, it's, oh, it's stupid. No, it is. But normally, how would people put their alarms? Then they start doing whatever they do. They go get the coffee. And then they put on the news. Jesus. Then they go into traffic. How can you not begin your day in a down mood when you wake up like that? Alarm? What's going on? News that 99% of the time are going to tell you how terrible life and everything is around you. Traffic that everybody's met. It's harder to begin your day in a good mood.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I love that you said wake up to a song. I'm going to change my alarm. I'm curious. Go ahead.
It does change. Trust me. You're going to, again, when your alarm sound normally is, when you hear the song that you really like, it's keep on playing. I want to listen to that song.
And I feel like when I do, I'm going to want to wake up because I'm like, oh, I'm excited for my song to come on. And
exactly.
Yeah. I love that. Ricardo, though, we're speaking about this and I feel like we have some practice with this, not meaning that we're perfect at it yet. What would you say, because I know what you talk about also is living our life on autopilot. And so what would you say to people who they're stuck in these patterns of busyness, of numbness, of just going through the motions, even when deep down they want more, they know that they could do things differently, yet they're just so conditioned to live their life on autopilot. How do they break out of that pattern?
There's actually the RIG method that I got from different parts of people doing this. The first one, R, is recognize that you are not living the life you want or enjoying what you're doing. Or if you don't, it's almost impossible to get out of there, to be honest. You train your mind and your limiting beliefs make you believe that that's the way life should be. You need to sacrifice, you need to be busy, you need to make money, you need to save for retirement, all the things that they've taught us. It's fine. It's very difficult to get out of there. So you need to recognize it. Then you need to, the idea is you need to identify what brings you joy. Why kids love their days? Because all they are focusing every day is how they're going to have fun. But suddenly we were taught again that being an adult, you cannot. You need being responsible, which has nothing to do with having fun, normally means that you need to get more formal. You need to start laughing. You need to start enjoying. No, you need to be an adult. Things different. And that's not true. So you need to identify what brings you fun, to create your joy file, to find what do you like doing during your personal, professional, all aspects of your life. And then you need to consciously, that's the C, you need to consciously focus on that. Mm. And you can see it in a job. If you tell me what's the most stressful job you can think of or the worst job you can think of, whatever you give me, you're going to have two different people doing the job. One of them is pissed off, mad all day long. And one of them is not. And they are doing the exact same and having the exact same problems. But one of them chose not to focus on that. A neurosurgeon, stressful as it can be. And you have some neurosurgeons doing surgery and everybody's sat around there. Mm-hmm. And some of them put music and they almost seem enjoying. And they do enjoy doing that, even though they have a life in their hands.
Yeah, for sure. And
it's a way of approaching it.
Big time. What would you say, Ricardo? So I love that. So the RIC method, is that what you call it? Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So R, recognize, I, identify, C, consciously choose. And so what's a simple practice? So for those who are listening, to actually start to implement this today, if they were to hop off of here, how do they start to take a look at their life and start to practice this method?
I think the best way to do it, there are two things. One, create your joy file. Mm-hmm. Really write down every single thing or memory, actually, that brings you joy. Songs, food, memories, the smell, whatever, experiences, whatever, write them down. And the other one is you do, let's call it an inventory of every single task, and you can do it professionally and personally, of everything you do every day. And you put, it's a graph, and I would need to, but you, let's call it, you specify every task and you put a number, or that whether you like it or not. And there's an exercise exactly for that, but I'm trying to put it like very simple to do. And all the tasks that you don't like, find a way or a different way of doing that task. So you can move it. If you enjoy it, one, let's try to enjoy it. Two, how can I do it? Because again, there's some jobs and some aspects in life that are stressful, and they're not going to be different. It's how you choose to confront that that's going to make that change. And these two exercises that I do on this, you have no idea that they're very powerful.
Yeah.
Because you realize, oh, yeah, I don't know. I hate doing this. Okay. Why do you hate it? Because, I don't know. Because Mary, I do it with Mary and I just hate Mary. Okay. Is there any way you can do it with somebody else, or you can do it alone, or you can do it alone, then just give it to Mary? I'm just bold. I'm a speedball, but you can always find a way of all those tasks or things that you do every day to change them a little bit.
Yeah. I like your message. I love your message because everything you're sharing is so practical, right? That people can actually do. And I'm even just thinking of myself. If I go throughout the day and there's moments where I dip in my joy, or I'm not happy, or I'm frustrated, like, it's to stop and have the awareness. So like actually sitting there and making a list of the tasks and be like, okay, so why was I less happy yesterday versus today? Oh, because I had those three or four things. Okay, then how do I take control of that? Do things different, maybe delegate or approach it differently. Or so it's like really taking a look at our life and creating, for lack of better words, some strategy that frees up the energy for joy.
Exactly. There's two very important things from what you said. One, if you or somebody from your audience have heard of Mel Robbins, that she has a 5-second rule. Kabbalah has this pause, what a pleasure. There are so many different philosophies that tell you when you're engaging in that sadness or anger or anxiety, stop. The 5-second rule is count to five and your mind disengages one way or the other. Kabbalah says, stop. What a pleasure. What a pleasure to have the option to choose this terrible situation and how I'm going to confront it. There are tons of different ways to do it. And there's one movie that all the people that I coach, that I talk to, I give them as a homework. It's called About Time. And it's not a spoiler, but it's a guy and his dad that can travel in time doing something very, it's an amazing movie. But there's one part of the movie where he goes through the day and they show you a terrible day that he had. And then he goes to bed and he said, this was a terrible day. Why? So he does his thing and he goes back and he starts the day singing in the shower, then going to get his coffee and saying hi to the barista and having a conversation. And suddenly the whole day, the exact same day, He arrives and he's happy as hell because he had a wonderful day. And nothing changed except how he approached the day.
Huh.
But everything that happened during the day is exactly the same.
I love that example.
It's an amazing movie.
So good. And
that part is exactly that.
It's just so true, though. It's so true. About time. I'm going to watch that. I recommend everybody watch that.
That
message is brilliant.
It's an amazing movie.
Yeah.
It's such a nice movie and so powerful if you really see it from that angle that you can enjoy whatever you do. And that movie has different things that are very nice, but that part is impressive. It's amazing to see it happening in the screen.
And it answers a question I had too, because I was going to ask, like, and you brought it up earlier, so many people have this idea of I'll have joy when, like when I have the great relationship, when I'm making the money, when I feel like I'm healed. And so it's like there's this delayed joy expectation or something. I don't know.
Exactly.
And so,
yes. No, yes.
So what you just described is how do you actually have daily joy while you're working towards those things that you desire?
Yeah. And again, I give you another example, which is the closest one right now with cancer. I had to get a port for this new treatment that I'm doing. A port is the one where they put it inside below your clavicle so they can give you all the chemo and all of that through there and not. And they needed to do it because of medical reasons and blah, blah, blah. And I hated that because the first time I didn't want to have it because it reminds me that I'm sick and I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed to do it this time. I could still complain about it. I can say I hate it. What I did was I mourned for one day and say I hate this. And then I just decided to name him Tom because it's Peeping Tom. And now I talk to Tom and it's become a joke every day with my kids, with my wife, with my friends. And they, how's Tom doing? And now it's actually a good part of me.
Yeah, you change the story, that you change the narrative.
Yes, you change the story and you can.
Yeah, I love that. You know what I like too about your message is you bring other people into it, right? Because you're willing to do that. It trickled into now your kids are a part of it. Your wife's a part of it. Maybe how do you do that? Because I think the thing that we're talking about, once we develop that habit, okay, fair enough, not easy to do, but we can work on it always. I feel like one of the trickier parts is, okay, I'm now focused on this way of living, but the people around me, they're not willing to change.
It permeates. It's contagious. And again, with cancer, my wife and my daughter are the ones that are worried the most.
Mm-hmm.
But they see me the way I approach it, and they are much more relaxed with what we're going through than if I victimize myself and feel terrible and tell them, yeah, it's so sad. So honestly, you cannot change everybody and make them believe in this way of living. But when you do it, I know in my heart, in my mind, I've seen it. People start to do it themselves. And like my daughter there was saying, and he was talking about Tom with a friend of hers, where normally she would be, oh, my dad has cancer, and she cries, and we changed the story. And some days it might not work, and for some people it might not work.
Yeah.
It's not a formula. It's not a... You cannot make people believe in something. But if you believe that your life and you're here in this life to enjoy it, you need to start by enjoying your days. Because if not, it's very hard to do.
Yeah, no, thanks for sharing that. I like that. It's like being the example and it does permeate and energy
yes.
rubs off on people either way, right? Whether we're being
yes.
negative or being
yes.
positive.
Yeah. No, and the negative one ends up separating families and it creates a lot of problems with illnesses, with you name it, negativity permeates in very bad ways and positivity real positivity, conscious positivity permeates pretty good.
Really?
If you just, everything is fine, and that's just trying, that's makeup. It doesn't work.
Yeah. I'm curious. Okay, I have a question before we start to learn a little bit about you and wrap up, because Ricardo, you're so inspiring right now, and you're going through something real, even as we're on this podcast. And I'm curious, how do you sustain it, right? Because you've got to have bad days, or no. Like, how do you keep it going?
Terrible days.
Yeah.
It's like when you're exercising and it becomes a habit, there are some days that you don't, but then you get back to it. I have terrible days. Mm-hmm. I have days where I'm scared, when I cry, when it's part of life. Mm-hmm. And I have cancer. And I have so many other problems like any other guy. But now my mind doesn't let that control my days or my story. Really, I'm now, it takes work. You cannot just say, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be fine. It doesn't work that way. You can manifest, you can visualize, you can do whatever, but you need to do the work behind that for that to be real. So yeah, I have terrible days.
Yeah. No, I like that. It's like what you're sharing, though, is like if you build the muscle and you build the habit, those days will outweigh the terrible ones. And you allow the terrible ones, though, too, because sometimes I think we need that contrast to allow yourself to feel it and to allow yourself to acknowledge it. And at the same time, you just don't stay there.
Exactly. No, I don't. Yeah. And I consciously don't stay there.
Yeah.
But all the bad feelings and thoughts that you or me or the next person have, I do have them.
Yeah.
It's impossible not to.
Exactly. I like to say commitment is a renewable resource, meaning exercise as an example, but if you binge one day, don't keep binging, just, okay, that happened, and just recommit, right? Back to what you were.
And don't be remorseful about it. You binge one day, that's great. Enjoy binging. Yeah. You're dieting or you're in that, and someday you eat 3 slices of pizza, ice cream, and a milkshake. Enjoy it. Actually, for your body, it's better to enjoy what you're eating at that moment than feeling guilty about it. But that's another.
We could have a whole podcast topic. Just even on that topic.
Yeah.
Ricardo, I'm curious. You're just such an awesome guy. You're such a cool guy and down to earth. And your message is amazing. I love that. I think of you like a joy architect. Like, you're just out there spreading joy. And I know that's a big part of your business and who you are and what you do. Where can we find you? And what do you have going on that people could plug into?
I have my website is experienceviso.com, and there you can schedule a call, look for me. And in Instagram, I'm as experienceviso as well. And I created the Joyful Living Lounge, which I'm actually launching right now. Mm. It's a Facebook group, and it's a space where negativity is doomed and it's prohibited. So all you can do in a lounge, in a joyful living lounge, is spread humor, good feelings. If you go in, something nice is going to come out of it, or something fun, or something that makes you feel better. And I try, and my vision is to create physical spaces of a joyful living lounge where you can, if you can imagine a co-working space where you go there and you enjoy. So it's a movement that I want to create with the Joyful Living Lounge. Again, because it permeates. If you start meeting people and being with people that enjoy, they make others enjoy, and that's how it goes. And I'm trying to reach as many people as I can with workshops, speaking gigs, whatever I can find a space to spread this message, I want to do it. So anybody that can look out for me, I would love to talk to them, talk to their teams, whatever they want to do. Join the Joyful Living Lounge, and that's in Facebook right now. And you can reach me through there as well.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love that that's your movement. And we'll put all that information in the show notes. I definitely encourage listeners, to reach out, to join your lounge. I think that's a beautiful thing to have a space where people can come and remind themselves about the beautiful aspects of life and the beautiful aspects of themselves. Yep. And that does permeate. And I think that that's just super cool. And I know we're mostly just talking about joy and individually, but I do know you work with teams and organizations as well. Yep. Definitely, everybody reach out to Ricardo for those things. And I love that. I'm curious, Ricardo, a few questions. You've had quite the journey, and I know we just scratched on most of it, the surface.
Yeah, there are many good stories.
I feel like you are somebody I can hang out with and just listen to all your stories of life. We'll do that. We'll do that on another episode or something. Yeah, you've lived life, I feel. And I'm curious now at this point in your life, what would your definition of success be?
That's a great question. I definitely would say that if I, again, enjoy most of my days and have my closest circle around me enjoy theirs, I'm a successful person. That's it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
However I define, I created a mantra for my life that it's called what to do and with whom. If every day I do what I want with the people that I want, I'm normally going to have a great day.
For sure. I love that. That is success.
And that's success.
It is success. And so my tagline to my podcast is called Unleashing Greatness Within. What would three tips be that you would give the listeners to unleash their inner greatness?
Wake up with a song, not with your alarm. Simple as that. Create your joy pile. Find things to do during the day that you really enjoy, no matter what you work in or what you do. And the third one would be, the mantra is, what to do and with whom. I really believe it's a very, very powerful way to live.
I love it. Thanks, Ricardo. Thank you so much. Is there any last things that you just want to make sure the listeners take away from our conversation today?
No, I think we covered all that. Again, there's many things we could talk about, but I think, again, as long as some of your listeners believe that it's worth for their lives to focus on enjoying their days, that's it. We're doing good.
I love it. You're definitely living your purpose and living your mission and spreading the message. And what a great message to spread, Ricardo. Just thank you so much for being here. And I wish you all the best with your health. I only see you living a long time.
Thank you very much.
Spending time with your family, doing what you love with who you love. And that's the only vision I see for yourself. So thanks just for being.
Thank you very, very much for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for your message today.
Take care.
Hi, I'm Tanya and this is Julie, and we are the founders of Coach Core, your all-in-one solution for building and scaling a successful coaching business.
At Coach Core, we provide you with everything you need in one place. You can house your courses, manage memberships, run email campaigns, and create stunning websites and funnels, all with our easy-to-use platform.
And it's not just about the software. We offer built-in coaching and mentorship, helping you implement best practices from certified NLP practitioners and story brand coaches. And that's just scratching the surface of what's inside.
And that's why we're excited to sponsor the Entrepreneurial Elevation podcast with Kelly Beveridge. Kelly is a thought leader who inspires and elevates entrepreneurs worldwide.
We believe in the power of community and continuous learning, and this podcast is a fantastic resource for any coach looking to truly grow their practice.
So join us on this journey. Tune into the Entrepreneurial Elevation podcast for insights and inspiration, and visit Coach Core to transform your coaching business today.
Coach Core, your path to coaching success.